How do you make business problems disappear? Wrap them in bacon. For business owners, marketing execs, and anyone trying to grow your business, pump your profits, and make more while doing less, welcome to Bacon Wrapped Business with Brad Costanzo. Sizzling hot business advice guaranteed to make you fat. Profits. Every week, our chefs will serve you proven recipes for ramping up your revenue. Now, here's your host, Brad Costanzo.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Brad Costanzo. You're listening to Bacon Wrapped Business, where we dive into some of the hottest topics around business, marketing, and entrepreneurship, especially. And, you know, if this is your first time listening to the show, I want you to realize that I think of this show as a little bit different than a lot of podcasts you've listened to, because a lot of podcasts you listen to really, really care about giving you the information in this very spoon-fed format where they, you know, ask dumbed-down questions and really broad questions or formulaic stuff so that, you know, they can, you know, give everybody a little bit of something. Well, I don't really do that. So let me be very, very frank here. I do this podcast so that I can talk to people that I find amazingly interesting about topics that I'm dying to know about. And today is exactly one of those situations. I'm going to introduce our guest in just one second, but I want you to understand that I want you to feel as though you're a fly on the wall on a conversation that I want to have about a topic that I need to know. And there have been many times where I've gotten replies from you guys, my listeners, saying, Brad, you should be charging for this. I was like, yeah, I know I should be charging for this, but I'm not. However, the way that you can pay me back is to simply share this show, talk about it with other people, leave a review on iTunes. As a matter of fact, if you stay to the very end, I'm going to announce something really cool about a review reward for you. So I just did this the other day, and it was kind of a hit. So stay around to the end, and you'll see what you're going to get out of this. That being said, today we're going to meet Brian Horn from Authority Alchemy. Look, can the average entrepreneur, and this is a question that he kind of, you know, had posed on his website, but I loved it, so I'm gonna announce it here. Can the average entrepreneur really get coverage and recognition in the national media without already being a well-known expert? So that hooked me. I loved it. And I was like, we need to get Brian on the show. So Brian is a best-selling author. He's an investor and an entrepreneur, and he helps professionals and entrepreneurs leverage their knowledge to gain authority, and you could argue celebrity authority status in their industry. And then he uses this, what he calls authority marketing, to get them national media exposure. And his unique method has been talked about and covered on The Howard Stern Show, Wall Street Journal, Perez Hilton, CBS News, Forbes, Advertising Age, and a lot of other media outlets. He's the co-founder of the consulting firm Authority Alchemy, and he also writes for the Huffington Post and Entrepreneur Magazine about authority marketing and personal branding. He and his partner Jack Mize have an amazing podcast, and rumor has it that they've got the best episode ever coming out with this guy named Brad Costanzo. You'll want to go listen to that as well. Brian Horn, welcome to Bacon Wrapped Business, my brother.
Thank you so much for having me on here. Yeah, we had a great time with you on there the other day.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Good stuff. Yeah.
I love turning the tables on, having me be interviewed and then me interview the person. I just did that with Michael O'Neill from Solopreneur Hour the other day, and I've done that several times. And it's really neat to just kind of go back and forth and, you know, record these conversations. And I mean, I learn a ton, so
hopefully. Oh, yeah, same here.
By the way, the podcast, if they want to subscribe to your podcast to hear little old me spill my beans, where do they go?
Just authorityalchemy.com.
Cool.
You'll be right on there at the top.
Yeah, I love it. So, yeah, man, today we're talking about, you know, building, you know, this real expert authority in the marketplace. And I want to take one second to address my listeners, and I brought this up earlier. I could go really, really basic on this and just say, why is it important to be an authority in the marketplace? Why is it important to be seen as an expert? Guys, if you don't already know that, if that's not like forehead slapping stupidly simple, then go listen to something else, because I think that's a given. Like, just reading your your bio, talking about, you know, where you write for, where you've been on, et cetera, automatically gives you that, you know, that authority. So we're not going to talk about the why. I really want to dive into the how and some of the stuff that you don't necessarily, you know, reveal out in the open all the time. Like, I want people to walk away from this podcast, and by people I mean me, with some specific actions that they can do to build their authority right away. Cool?
Absolutely.
All right. So before we do that, though, let's give them some perspective and tell me a little bit about your journey from being, you know, unknown marketer guy to where you are now, kind of how you did it, and tell me some of the cool things that's happened as a result of it.
Yeah, well, I really got thrust into hanging with some pretty big, influential people pretty quickly. Connected with one back. I was doing some consulting for businesses, especially SEO consulting back in mid like 2006, 2007, around there. And I was answering some questions on a message board, and happened to help one guy out, and he contacted me and said he wanted me to interview with him for a job, and I ended up getting him on as a client. And shortly thereafter, realized that he was in Dan Kennedy's Platinum Mastermind group. And so he had a bunch of connections. And anyway, I got him ranked at the number four spot for bankruptcy, just the term bankruptcy in Google. And once that happened, then, Dan Kennedy hired me, all these other big shots in his group hired me. So I immediately became like a go-to SEO guy. And that was great for a while. One of the things I was doing toward the end of my time doing SEO was using it was when press releases were big in SEO. People were using PR Web to quickly rank for terms, but I saw it as using it a little bit different way. I saw some errors in that it was putting the same footprint out for Google to see, and eventually it stopped working. So went back and created our own press release distribution service. But changed up a little bit. We were focusing on getting on some really good quality sites and not as much, getting on as many sites as possible, which is what most of them did. We said, okay, if we just get on 100 sites, if these are good quality sites with and have good, strong backlinks, and we can put contextual links, it'll be really good for SEO. Anyway, we did that. It was working great. And then one day, this is one of those things that just happened where all of a sudden just the answer's just been right in front of you. You didn't know something big was there. One of my clients asked, hey, I've noticed this is on all the ABC, NBC, CBS, and Fox stations on their websites. Can I put that's where they've been? And I looked over what their terms of service were. We talked to an attorney, and we found a way to word it that was honest. It wasn't showing their endorsement, just that they have appeared those places. And we put it on her site. And she was doing a launch right then. She was in the personal development space, really in the more mind, body, spirit space. And we put that, the As Seen On thing on her video sales page right above the buy button, and it almost doubled sales in a split test for her.
Really,
and almost doubled. And this was in the mind, body, spirit market, and they're always a little behind what's working in IM. So this was something that they had never even seen anything like this before at all. And it worked incredibly well. So then I tried it with my other clients. We did it with Kennedy. We're doing stuff for Dice and a whole bunch of other people. We're putting out there these things, all of them across the board, worked for everybody. But these are all pretty big people. So shortly after that, I was in Kevin Nation's mastermind. And I reached out to everybody in there and said, hey, just I'll do this for you. Just report back your results. And so I did that for people in there. All of them had amazing results with it. And so I said, okay, I'm really onto something. And this is a hell of a lot easier to deliver than SEO. So completely backed away from the SEO stuff and started getting into this. And because really nobody else was doing this. We're doing this, we started calling it authority marketing, authority positioning. Nobody else was really doing anything like that. And so it was very easy to quickly become like the go-to person in that. I just kind of, nobody else was doing it. So it wasn't any competition to be the person providing that service or providing information to the market on that type of topic.
Shoot, my thing was on mute for a second. there was some stuff going on outside. That's awesome. And dive a little bit more into that, because I was just having a conversation about that the other day, where it was somewhat of a controversial topic, saying, okay, well, is it legit to take throw a press release out there, and if it gets picked up on some of these, some of these sites that it's not really being published on their main site. It's kind of like one of their little news feeder sites, et cetera. Right. Is there a little bit more finesse that goes into it than that? Yeah, is there a little bit different?
It can. It really depends on the market that you're targeting also. Because in the people that care about that, honestly, Brad, are the people in IM. The ones that I've seen it for a while, dig into it and really focus on that and really dig into that. But if you're targeting like the average business person, mm-hmm. they really do not see the difference. And you really are being on their website. The way media has worked has completely changed. The last one, it's really going back into what's known as citizen journalism. That in the old days, even just 10, 15 years ago, before the internet really started exploding, becoming more common, that the only way to really get on a news website or a newspaper or a magazine was going through a staff journalist. That was the only way. But now the model for these media companies has completely changed. They bring on people like I write for Entrepreneur and Huffington Post. They bring on contributors. They bring on preferred partners that have entire websites. They'll pull over their content. Entrepreneur has quite a few. There's another one called Personal Branding Blog. I write for them, and Entrepreneur pulls over almost all of their articles. Just pulls them over, and then the other point is syndication partners, where the news companies will go, okay, we want more content for our site. We want news on our sites. We want more stories on our site, but we don't want to have to pay to have writers write them or editors to go over and mull over every piece of content. So we're going to find partners out there that will do that stuff for them. And as long as they provide quality news that meets these specific guidelines, we'll accept them as stories on our site. And that's really what syndication is.
Yeah. And it is, because I was arguing it is legit. It is totally legit. Like, now I have seen those. This is a totally different subject. I have seen people on video sales letters and whatnot saying, as seen on Google, as seen on Yahoo.
Oh, I see those too.
Totally different story. Google, but that's cool. So that is some of the journey there. Let's talk about some of the coolest stuff that's either happened as a result for you, and maybe even more fun for some of the people that you've worked with as a result of doing this authority marketing. So obviously you've already said one. It's like, doubling your conversion rate is awesome. Tell me some cool anecdotal stuff. Like, because I had this, such and such contacted me, or I got to experience this, or business went up, et cetera.
Oh, cool. I got one of my favorite ones.
Make me jealous. Make me go like, shit, I want that to happen to me.
Yeah, I've got three good ones. I'll do one of them. I'll see if you want more, because these are all pretty fun ones.
Yeah.
That I'm a big fan of the Howard Stern show. Been for years. love that show. Mm-hmm. And so I've studied it for a bit. I know what days are on, what days are off. I know what their slower days are. Stern's not actually in there, his news department's still in looking for stories. So I said, okay, there's an opportunity right there. And I was already writing for Huffington Post, and I said, I'm going to write an article about that ties in what I do with Howard Stern. So I was like, okay, personal branding lessons from Howard Stern. And I wrote it, put it into Huffington Post. They liked it. They published it. As soon as it got published, I tweeted, I tagged in the Howard News, their Twitter handle, and within minutes, I had multiple people in their news department contacting me over Facebook and Twitter, telling me they want me to come in for to be interviewed.
Okay, so you're going to need to fill in a couple details. So you published something on the Huffington Post.
Yep.
Then you tagged them, their producers and their people that you've gotten that you did some research on to say who are their news producers, right?
Right.
So do you remember the topic? Like, how'd you get their attention? Because I mean, That's the secret sauce.
Yeah, it was writing. I wrote the article for Huffington Post. It was the personal branding secrets of Howard Stern.
Boom, perfect.
Yeah, so it's just there. So it was our personal branding lessons of Howard Stern. And so I just made a list of you know, things about him, like him, you know, being outrageous and controversial, and I forgot all those personal, all the other ones were, but wrote about those and then tied them into how the an average entrepreneur can use those same things in their business. And yeah, tagged Sternall, so he actually saw it and commented on it
on Twitter or on the actual HuffPost.
Actually on Twitter.
Nice.
And told them, and so they went back, got me in. I did the got to do an interview. It was on Howard Stern Show, which has, you know, 6 to 8 million listeners.
Wait a minute. So Howard interviewed you?
His staff interviewed.
Oh, that's still awesome.
Yeah, yeah, it's still cool. And so, yeah,
and probably much better than getting actually interviewed by Howard, because he doesn't paint, you know, people in the most perfect picture after being interviewed. So
I got to actually just talk about personal branding and stuff and sound relatively smart versus going in there and having him interview me and just end up being talking about sex.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, whatever else makes me look like a moron. But yeah, but it was, so that was really cool. That had huge, huge reach. So I said, okay, that works. I'm going to try it again. And so I said, where's another person that puts out a whole lot of content that's always looking for more stuff to put that's online and easy to reach. So I looked around and said, ah, I know this. I got another good one. So I went back and did one on did one about Perez Hilton. Mm-hmm. PerezHilton.com, one of the biggest celebrity gossip sites, and did one about him. Same exact thing. As soon as I published it, tagged him, I got a contact from him saying thank you. He loved it, and he wrote a post about it on his site and thanked me on his site. So I was actually – I have a screenshot of him talking about me on his show – on his site with a Kardashian right below me and, like, Drew Barrymore right right above me.
That's so awesome.
Right there mixed in with celebs, which was really cool.
You know, it's funny you say that, because I was – as I was going over your website, authoritycalchemy.com, the other day, by the way, I think you've done an amazing job on just the blog and the site. It's tons of great articles, really engaging, good design, everything. Like, I just, you know, give you little props on that. But I noticed in there that you did this several times where you are talking about certain celebrities. You're bringing them up, and you're using them as exactly like you said, like, you know, Howard Stern's secrets to this or Perez Hilton's secrets to that. And I love that concept. I mean, I think I know this is an industry term or whatever, but I think you've also called it either newsjacking or authority jacking and things like that, where you're tying in. I've also heard it called, you know, tying into the slipstream. So if people are already talking about these people, these issues, and especially like these people, they have influence, and you can paint them in a nice picture, there's a very high likelihood that you will get some traction from that. And then what you did, which I like, is that you used your platform like on HuffPost or any of these other publications to where it's not just like you on the, like, Authority Alchemy. I mean, because that's not nowhere near HuffPost or something like that. So it's not; they're not going to want to share it as much. But even famous celebrities, hey, if it's on the HuffPost, they acknowledge it better there, right?
Yeah, the Huffington Post has been huge with that. You really can get to anybody with that, and entrepreneurs about the same way. Also, man, you can literally call up just about anybody and say that you're doing a story for Entrepreneur. Do you have time to talk to me? And you get yeses.
So
it's amazing.
So you just made me remember a strategy. I can't remember where I heard it, whether it was Tim Ferriss or somebody else, but maybe there. Let me remind you what it is. So somebody was saying that they got some really, really badass interviews, or at least one interview with somebody, by saying, it's kind of, I guess you could think of it as interview arbitrage. So, like, imagine I called you up and I said, hey, Brian, you know, this is Brad Costanzo. I'm writing an article for Forbes and, you know, want to write one about you, for instance. I would love to get your input on this. And then they, you know, he scored an interview but this is also way before, he did not have a column with Forbes. But then what he had is an interview with this famous person, and I think it was like a famous business leader or whatever, and then he went to Forbes or HuffPo, I don't remember exactly what it was, but then he pitched them, he says, listen, I have an exclusive interview with this person, I'd like to publish it with you. And they said, yeah, absolutely. It's exclusive. So now he's got his, he killed two birds with one stone, but he did it the reverse way. I don't remember who this was or what it was. I just remember it kind of was in the recesses of my brain. Have you got any insight on that?
No, I've not done that. The I'm writing for this place now, but the other thing that's really cool with this, and it's, and I'll make sure we can put a link in the notes for this section. I've got a guide that teaches people how to actually get and become contributors to these places, and gives the editors' email addresses and stuff, so we can give that out.
And I downloaded that.
Oh, cool.
That PDF. That's awesome, by the way. And we're about to dive deeper into that topic here in just a second.
Yeah, but the one thing I just want to say with that, though, is that aside from just reaching out to celebrities to get a cool little piece of news and get some exposure, is, man, you can get to any decision maker instantly this way. If you're selling bigger consulting packages and you're going after larger clients, then it's anybody. You go up to and say, hey, this is Brian Easy Horn. I'm doing a story for Entrepreneur about XXX, just kind of talking from the industry. I'd love to get a couple quotes from you. You get right on and talk to anybody. You get past any gatekeeper.
And I love the whole a couple quotes from you, because you're not asking for a lot.
Yep.
A couple quotes, and that could end up being an hour long interview.
Yep. Goes back to one of our principles with all the authority stuff we're doing. Also, is like believability and achievability. So when if you go to somebody, just say, I want to do a full story on you for your Entrepreneur, Forbes, or wherever, it just sounds a little odd. Mm-hmm. But if you're just, I can get a quick quote from you about, what's going on in the these new Facebook, Facebook your ad changes, you get through to anybody.
Yeah,
very specific things.
I love it. So let's talk about that. And by the way, I don't want to go into the super duper basics, because, as I said, I've read all about it, and you folks can go to one of the links in the show notes. I mean, you just did a podcast episode about how to write for Forbes and Huffington Post and Forbes. I mean, dude, it's awesome. It's like, you should charge for it. It's that good. And people can go read about some of this, and I know, but let me recap some of the stuff that I understand, and then you correct me if I'm wrong, because then I want to go deeper. So let's say I want to write for, what's a good one? Forbes, right? Okay.
Sure.
So, and I'm not looking at your article. I'm not looking at notes. This is just off the top of my head. So obviously there are contributor guidelines usually there, sure. And they'll tell you what they want. You give links to that. There are, submission forms, and sometimes the, just the straight up contact of the editor that you can reach out to them. And oftentimes it's as easy as reaching out to them and just letting them know, hey, listen, I've got a, I've got a great topic. Here's what I'd like to cover. I think I've seen even some templates in there.
Yeah.
But, that's the easy stuff. Hey, find, if you come up with a great topic or a thought and you want to submit it to them, it's relatively easy. However, what I want to know are a couple things. A, coming up with topics. So I'm creative as a mofo, and I'm a really good writer, and I know that. But I've sat down to do this, and I was like, I have no idea what I would submit to them. Like, it was the weirdest little brain block. So then I started looking around at a lot of the articles that they had, going, okay, well, how unique, A, does it have to be? And because I see these sites regurgitating the same article, it looks like, over and over and over, the same topic.
Absolutely.
And they're relatively general, too. Meaning they don't go super, super deep. They're not like these amazing, amazing posts. They're usually relatively general. Somebody can read it in a few minutes. Mm-hmm. So how do you come up with these topics that are going to get the attention of some of the editors?
Yeah, they are a lot of the same ones, especially the last 6 months or so. They're really almost all the same ones. Like, these are the six habits to be that successful people do every morning, and that's just, they've got tons of those, and they're actually now not wanting those.
I've heard there's no more listicles.
Yeah, so no more. Well, they still like the list stuff. They still are okay. They want it tied into a current topic, because before they're very interested in evergreen stuff. We want things that are evergreen. They'll be okay for forever. And now I think they've exhausted that, so they want more topical ones. So same type of thing. So like what I was doing with the Howard Stern stuff, like they want tied into celebrity, or things like with president right now, like, you know, presidential election stuff, or tied into Kobe Bryant was in the news, like tied into that kind of stuff. Just things where they can hit and they can get those nice surges of traffic popping through when it happens. So they
I love that because that gives you the ability, or by you I mean me, to search the news feed, especially the business news feed, because that's what I would write about, and look for anything that can kind of come up with a I could create a story around that.
Yeah. So what we do, what I do is use a tool like, I love BuzzSumo. That's one of my favorite tools. So you go there and you can look at like some of the sites. You go look at Entrepreneur or Inc. and Forbes, some of those big sites of Fast Company, and see what's been shared the most. And then you go back and work in a current news topic to those, and they love those. Now the thing with some of these, like especially like Entrepreneur, like they like very short articles, like you said, they like things that are broken up, scannable, and that are about 700 words max, but short stuff. So you've got to be real punchy with those.
Okay, dude, this is great. That right there answered such a big question of mine. Because I was just stumped going, you know, I don't feel like I've got anything necessarily to add to that. And I didn't, and I wasn't, what do you call it, motivated to write a really general article. What leadership really means.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, ah.
Yeah, yeah.
So, okay, so that's cool. So coming up with a current, tying it into a current topic, is there, what about... Oh, and by the way, like we just mentioned, if we're talking about a celebrity or somebody who's really, really well known, that's if, and especially if they're a current topic, I imagine that, you know, that fits in perfectly. And you probably could. I mean, I'm not saying, you know, my example earlier, it's a little bit in the gray area of ethics, which is, you know, tell somebody you're writing an article for Huffington Post or whatever before you've ever been accepted. Can I get a quote from you? But I'm also a fan of asking for forgiveness and not permission.
Right.
So
no, if your intention is to write an article for that place, that's what you're doing it for. Then that's I guess you're not being dishonest at all.
But then again, once you do get that article up there, you know, you go in. I guess the more ethical way to do it is to actually get at least one article up there. Because is it true that once you've published for them once, it's a lot easier to publish for them again?
Yeah, and a lot of times with it, like with a lot of them, when you submit stuff, if you get approved, they're going to create an account for you. Like at the places I write for, I have accounts created. I actually just log in Entrepreneur and submit stuff whenever I want.
And then they just either approve it or don't.
Yeah, they just either approve it or don't. And depending on the place, like Huffington Post is very fast. They usually approve it within like 12 to 24 hours. Entrepreneur is 2 to 3 weeks out. So it just depends, but yeah.
Who's the hardest to really write for and get approved and all that?
Right now I'd say Forbes probably. Inc is getting more difficult now.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's all doable. They just, again, it's like kind of what you were talking about before, that all the same things have kept coming through and they worked for a while. I'm guessing they stopped working for them as much because they love those for a while. And all of a sudden across the board, all those places just said, no more of the lessons for you be successful when you wait. What successful people do in the morning type stuff. They just got floored with those. But those, I mean, people shared the hell out of those. So I don't know why they. I'm not sure why they stopped, but they've completely stopped.
No, they probably just got flooded with it.
Yeah,
and they realized that they're in danger of getting oversaturated with that.
Yeah.
Cool. So BuzzSumo, I went there the other day as well as I was brainstorming topics on this and tying into current topics. That's really, really good. Let's talk about how often do you submit or do you suggest submitting, like the frequency of writing these articles? I mean, I guess it kind of depends what you really want to do, but you don't really need a ton of them up there.
No. And what happens, like the you get a big surge of interaction with your list and followers the first time you go to a new place. So the first time I wrote for Huffington Post, it was huge. First time I wrote for Entrepreneur, huge. All these places, when first time I was in Forbes, huge. And then as you do it more and more, it gets less and less special to people that are following you. Now, there's certain benefits to each one. Like Entrepreneur will tweet out your article and tag you in it in Twitter. so you get a whole bunch of followers and interaction on Twitter whenever you write an article, which is which is good if you're using Twitter. Huffington Post has ridiculous SEO. I mean, ridiculous.
Oh, yeah,
you can rank for anything there. So if you go in there with that type of strategy, you can write an article that ranking for a certain word. And then you can you have links to other resources on your website or other ones, and you send a fair amount of traffic to either your site or those other sites, as long as it's a good resource. So you get benefits that way. But even aside from writing from those big places, which is a little work to get into, if you've not written for anywhere else before besides just your own blog. There's tons of smaller places you can go out to and pitch yourself and start writing content to start building up a little bit of a profile.
Mm-hmm. Having a podcast probably isn't the worst.
Yeah, a podcast is good. Having a social media following is good because they want traffic on those sites. So when you're pitching yourself there, they'll ask about your social media accounts and mm-hmm. stuff. And other insight, why should we accept you? If you say, well, I have a podcast and an active email list of 50,000 people, you're going to all of a sudden be a little more attractive to them versus somebody else that does not have that or has no social media following at all. Because they just want those page views. So they want all they want are page views. So they want a title that's shareable and sexy. And the other thing is when you're picking out the person you want to tie it into, you want to find someone that has a passionate following on. For me, I always go to Facebook. I said, who has a big face? Who gets a lot of interaction on Facebook? Who specifically has groups on Facebook, like fan groups on Facebook that you can join that people actively post and interact with? So when I did Howard Stern, there's his you have Stern fan club on there that you can join and go and you can post stuff and everybody in the group sees it and interacts with it and you can send a lot of traffic that way. So you just want you want stuff like that. So something like right now like a Bernie Sanders or Trump type stuff would be excellent ones because they're just whenever you see their name, people either hate them and click on it or they love them and click on it.
Right. So when you're talking about the social media stuff, so for instance, one of the things that I have just not done out of because I've been so busy is cultivate a large social media following. And I've got mm-hmm. my listenership and my email list, but to the public out there, I mean I've almost ignored Twitter. I've got about 1,200 followers on Twitter. Right. I have not cultivated that, and I don't cultivate a Facebook fan page to a large degree. So I'm not going to impress anybody with the social media marketing that I've personally done. And I have a feeling that a lot of the listeners out there may feel the same. So is it – how necessary, how critical is it in order to get published?
Oh, I mean nothing it will make or break it, but it's certainly something that they like to see.
Sure.
But with your podcast, your email list, that would override the social media stuff. But they just – they want people that can put out good content and that are already have some type of following so they can see that there is going to be –
a bump.
Yeah, it's going to be some traffic there.
Makes perfect sense to me. Okay, cool. The and I'm just going through my non-linear list of stuff like and in a minute, I think you have a somewhat of a done-for-you service, right? Or a way to even speed this process up. Cool, so we'll get to that in a minute because I legit don't even know that much about it, and I guarantee there's people probably out here going, man, this sounds like awesome, but a lot of work. So let's say you're not trying to build your personal authority as much as a brand's authority. Let's say so it's a business. Mm-hmm. Are there any differences or recommendations there?
Yeah, it is different.
Let me give you an example.
Okay, yeah.
Cool. So, and I think I already know how to do this. My wife and I recently launched a coffee business. Did I talk about this the other day?
Yeah. I've followed it also. I love the name and hook of it.
Thanks, brother. I appreciate it. Yeah. So, Stiletto Coffee. And my listeners, if you haven't seen this yet, go to stilettocoffee.com and follow us. You will get a very good education in real world, what we're doing, branding and marketing, et cetera. I'm really proud of what we've done and some of the traction we're getting. However, this is one of the next big things we're going to be doing is reaching out, trying to not only get press from other sources, but I started thinking, well, if we can be the source, if I can get these articles written maybe by my wife and get her posting on there as the founder of the company, mm-hmm. it brings even extra juice to the table. But mm-hmm. do you have any suggestions on how, you know, Stiletto Coffee and Kenya, my wife and the founder, could utilize authority marketing?
Yeah, we do more stuff for specific people.
Right.
Some of the foundations of authority is being the your educator and advocate for the success of your customers and prospects.
Yep.
So that really has to be a person, but she could definitely do that by going back to that those specific things, that being the educator and advocate. So talking about coffee and benefits of it, whatever your main hook is in there to her prospects and customers, and one of the other key things of authority is micro specialization, which is serving a very very specific market and providing a very very specific service to that market.
So that's one of my next questions I was going to bring up. So I'm glad you did.
Cool.
So let's explain that.
Sure. So that is we call it micro specialization, and it really like what I just said, it's really about providing one specific service to a very specific market. And the example we always love to use on this one, it seems to always clarify it perfectly, is Richard Simmons.
Okay.
Right. So you look at Richard Simmons, who is has about a $16 million fortune in the fitness empire. He ain't fit though. He's never fit. Doesn't really.
So
doesn't speak to general people at all either. He's never says, "I'm going to give you ripped abs. I'm going to get your arms cut up. I'm going to get you ready for a marathon. I'm going to get you new PRs in CrossFit." He targets a very specific market, and that is just morbidly obese people that have really never exercised before and have no clue how to eat right. And he just helps them with that very beginning stage, and that's it.
Yeah.
He helps them with that. That's it. So that's his micro-specialization. He targets that very specific market of morbidly obese people, which just about everybody wants to lose weight. There's only, maybe 20-30% of people that are not out there trying to lose weight or not buy some type of fitness
yep.
product.
Mm-hmm.
But he targets that very small percentage, maybe like 5-10% of people, and then just offers that one specific thing. So I'm not going to show you how to do yoga or how to get super ripped. I'm just going to show you how to move a little bit, and that's it. So he does his one specific thing. So he's a great one. The other one is Dave Ramsey.
Mm.
Who has a huge financial advice empire. I think he's like 30 plus million. But look how specific he is. He only gives advice on how to get out of credit card debt. He doesn't talk about real estate or gold or stocks or anything else, just about how to get out of debt.
That is right. He knows who he's talking to, and it's like, if I can talk to them better than anybody else, then I can help him with everything else.
Yeah, and he only talks to conservative Christians also. So he narrows down even further. Not just people who get a credit card debt, but conservative Christian. He hosts his training seminars in churches. He brings up politics a whole lot on his show and podcast. He makes it very clear where his opinions lie with that. And so he just targets conservative Christians that want to get out of credit card debt. That's it. Every other fight, like Susie Orman and all the other big financial people, they talk about everything. He talks about one specific thing, and it's worked for him.
Right.
So that's what we
well, and it's like you guys talk about building your authority. That's your micro specialization, and you just mentioned you're also a badass at SEO, and there's probably a lot of other things that you're really good at when it comes to like if a business owner hires you that you could help them with. But you have your micro specialization, especially the thing that you put out there. That's that sharp tip of the spear that pierces through all the noise, right?
Right, right. And you can still do all the other stuff also. People want to pay. I don't do SEO stuff anymore. We do some other marketing consulting, but yeah, the main thing we do is the authority stuff. And with our we have a group called Authority Agency that we help teach local marketers and consultants for online entrepreneurs how to do some authority stuff and sell that on a smaller scale than what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And they use this stuff as more like a lead magnet. So we teach them how to go out there and offer to do. Do books and get media placement as more of like a tripwire type thing, and then you bring them in and go, "Hey, well, since you got featured all those places, let's go ahead and utilize that and do a full SEO campaign for you."
Yep, several. It's funny. Several of my of my biggest clients in the past have come from, and I did not do this real intentionally, but you know, after you know, I'd sold my information products portfolio and that business, I just dove into the whole Amazon, the Kindle publishing, and, and using CreateSpace. And I did this more just for another client, just as an add-on service. And then he started talking about it, and other people saw what I did, and they came to me like, "Oh man, you really know how to run a bestseller campaign and do all this stuff for me. Will you do it?" I was like, "Sure," and it was like easy as heck. And then that led into, you know, discussions with them about their other issues, and then them saying, "I didn't know you could do all this. Can I hire you?" I was like, "Yeah, absolutely." So it's been great. Although I don't really do a lot of the Kindle or Amazon publishing anymore, but that, along with like what you're saying, is a great tip of the spear just to get your foot in the door and get somebody to give you money for something. It's a tripwire.
Yep, absolutely.
Right. So the and we could talk about that more in a second, because I am interested in hearing more about that. That's the authority agency where you let people go sell. This is kind of like a, almost like a, not a franchise, but a business in a box, if you would.
Yeah.
It sounds like. Yeah. And that's awesome. And that's really, really cool for somebody, especially if they've already got another business to add on to this. Yeah. So one of the, like the, one of the strategies that I was formulating for Stiletto Coffee and for Kenya is to get some exposure, to get a guest column, et cetera, on HuffPo and maybe some of these other websites. I don't know. I haven't really looked. I know you've got a lot of examples in your PDF that we've got a link to here in the show notes about other women's-oriented publications. But getting the exposure there allows her to even reach out to other other celebrities and other people, profiling them and letting them discover that she's the founder of Stiletto Coffee in other ways. Because obviously I'd love to get stories written about her and her journey and the founding of the company, but why not have it both ways, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Cool. So that's definitely coming. Are you a regular contributor to any of these, or do you or do you oftentimes just get one? Are you one and done on some of them?
No. Well, some of them I have, but for Entrepreneur and Huffington Post, I write regularly for those, for personal branding blog, for All Business. I write regularly for those, and then do a podcast and a blog each week on our own site. So contribute there mainly, but the other ones, for Huffington Post, probably more than any, just because they're more not lenient, but they have a wider array of topics you can write on and have more leadway in the style. Entrepreneur is very regimented what it needs to be, and there's longer wait times versus versus like a Huffington Post, you can really write just about anything, and you can reference other people, can link to other resources, and they let you put all that up there. Entrepreneur is very strict with that stuff. Not anything against them, but they've had other issues in the past. But they really want, like, if you quote somebody, they want to see where it is online. They can read it, that it's on a site that person actually owns, and that person actually approved that they said that comment before you can put it on there. So like if I interviewed you, and I said, "Oh yeah, Brad said this." They'd go, "Okay, well, you'll link to it. I want to see that it's on his site, and that's an approved comment by him." So it becomes a whole process.
So you couldn't just say that you interviewed me unless you had a recording?
Yeah, they're strict there. The Huffington Post, you can, for sure. I do, it puts up like there all the time.
If you interviewed me and you have a recording of it, you could submit that.
Yeah. They'd possibly take that, but just it would depend on what it is, and they wanted to go through the time of listening to it.
Okay. Cool. The human interest stories. Let's talk about that. That kind of ties into the current topic thing and the celebrity. But if you want to write about people who've done just like some amazing stuff, like, because everybody loves a good human interest story. It's not necessarily news, but it is. Do you have any experience with those in particular and getting those published?
Yes. Yeah, we've done, and you can do really well with those also. And those are ones you can tie in clients to also. I had a client that's in the real estate space, and he did it is a thing each year where he actually buys a home for someone in his community. And I did a whole story on him in a Huffington Post about that. And once it's in there, then you can we've sent that off to other local media people on their social media accounts. And when it happened, he had every news station in the town was out there covering it for him. So you do little fun things like that. And I do. Mm-hmm. My son has five-year-old son with Down syndrome. He's almost six. That's why I'm thinking if it's happened, it's in the next few days. But Down syndrome. And so I'm an advocate for the kids with Down syndrome. Do a lot of stuff for those charitable organizations.
Yeah.
And I've done quite a few stories related to that out there. And some have just gotten huge. I had one that I did was lessons from basically lessons from him that entrepreneurs can learn. And it led to one of those windfall things also, where he was actually it's actually picked up and run by a woman that has a TV show over in the UK about kids that are young adults living with Down syndrome, kind of like a Real World, but all kids with special needs or adults with special needs. And it did some stuff with her, and then shortly after that, Oprah picked up that show and picked it for the OWN network. So I was actually associated with I did an article about that, and it was an article where I was quoted. And Oprah was quoted about that show, so that was kind of a cool little
cool
little tie-in. So yeah, so you can there's always that kind of stuff out there. So I love doing the human interest stuff also. And there's usually a way you can, not just tell them cold, but we are. This is a Bacon Wrapped business show. There is ways you can tie in business stuff to it and get have some mutually beneficial things where you can get some exposure out of it and really get some that exposure for that that charity also.
Yeah, absolutely. Does so, and I understand your approach to the. I mean, it is authority and publicity, et cetera. Is be in essence go as opposed to trying to get other people to write about you, go be the person who writes about, be the authority as opposed to trying to get the authority to bless you. But do you do much more general publicity where you are using press releases in order to get published by other people?
Yeah, we do that some. The press release is not as much for that purpose. Once it works extremely well, right, it's really reaching out over social media.
Yeah.
We have such good results with that, and particularly once you have a your first three words are "Hey, I write for Entrepreneur," and instantly that clicks, and people go, "Yes, okay, I'll read the rest of this message."
Yeah, I'm in.
And then without you even saying anything, they just say, "Okay, maybe I'm nice to this guy; he can do something for me." So you're leading in with something like that, and going in right off the bat with something you can do for them. It works really well. So then you get into what something else, how they can help you.
Right. So, so you can go to other, like, hey, I write for Entrepreneur, and then you go to other journalists and other contributors and other social media influencers. Mm-hmm. And in essence, are we still kind of talking about pitching your story?
Yeah. So if you're going to pitch your story to another journalist of some
sort,
like a local TV person. There's like the business beat for your local television station.
Yep.
You go to them and say, "Hey, we're doing hey, this is Brian Horn. I write for Entrepreneur. And there's we're doing a story about a business guy that lives in your area that's raising money for this particular charity, doing it this interesting way. I just thought I would let you know about it because it'd be a good." Could be a good story. Here's the information on it, and I'll let you know when my story comes out.
That's great, because this is one of the areas that I've been, I guess, keeping our, I've been building up the strategy before rolling it out. Is the journalist reach out and telling the story of Stiletto? So I have still,
yep.
But we've been working on all the back end stuff, getting all the branding in place, etc. So we have not done the big reach out process yet. So that's about to come. So it's kind of what I was.
Yeah. So So the way I'm doing it right now is just reaching out over social media. I mean, it just works. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just works. That works better than anything in the past. I mean, it's just you blast. It doesn't get lost in email. So the kind of what we do, if there's one I'm particularly wanting to target, I'll start for a few days sharing all of their stories they post like on Facebook or Twitter and tagging them and stuff and commenting just so they get used to seeing me there.
Yep.
And it works. It works well. Then you go in and you can you hit them up that way.
Yeah, that's, you know, social media, the ability to reach out. It's crazy that we live in a time where we can do that. Just recently, I had Jesse Itzler on my podcast. Jesse is a billionaire, and he is a best-selling author, and he's done some of the most amazing things, and it was quite literally a Facebook comment that led to the interview, and then we've talked multiple times, and I've introduced him to other people, and it's just kind of cool that we have the ability to expand our networks.
I just finished listening to the audiobook a few days ago.
Isn't it great?
It was great. I read the book, and then I think you were posting it. Were you posting about his audiobook? Oh, right. Yeah. So you're the reason I bought it.
Nice.
Yeah, so I bought that. I got it that day also and listened to it, and I loved it. So I love the audiobooks where people, the actual author is one reading it.
Yeah. Well, and you can hear his, and for my listeners, if they are interested, they can, you can hear the show at, baconwrapbusiness.com/Jesse, Jesse Itzler, Itzler. But, that came from a social media post.
Wow. Yeah, it's incredible.
And, one of the big secrets to my success in my life is really connecting with influencers, I guess, to keep it real basic. But the connections I've made, the network that I've built, the relationships I've had, it's led to not only opportunities just by, opportunity by osmosis, right? Being around these people, but it's also led to, it's led to gaining knowledge that I wouldn't normally have. It's led to just so many things. There's that old saying that your net worth is your network, or vice versa. And it's so true. And for the longest time, I still contend that the single best networking hack is a podcast, because of the ability to reach out to somebody and just say, hey, I'd love to interview you. for my show. But when you combine that, and this is one of the reasons this is a hot topic for me, when you combine that with, I'd love to interview you for my show, and I'm also a contributor or a, how do you usually frame it?
I write.
And I write for, I've got a podcast, I write for Entrepreneur and Forbes and Inc., and I got a great business show on iTunes. I think my audience would love you. I'd love to get a few quotes from you or whatnot. That is a very, very powerful 1-2 punch.
Yeah. I love asking for the quotes, like you said earlier. It's very low involvement. They don't say, I'm gonna have to set aside time for this. I'm just gonna give a couple quotes, and it makes them feel like a star also.
Yep.
I just need a quote from you.
Who doesn't want that extra validation?
Oh, absolutely.
Everybody does. So
yeah, I do this stuff, and I get suckered in if people ask me that kind of stuff. I go, sure.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
It works on me.
So tell me about now. Okay, so we've covered the what and the why, and we've gone pretty deep into the how, and we're giving them more resources on if they want to continue to build up their authority and do this pretty quickly. I want to kind of go into some of the ways that you've made it easier on them. But before I do, I think that kind of that one last question addressing all the listeners is, from the moment somebody decides, like let's say I decided, okay, Brian, I've drank the Kool-Aid. I want to get published on my first major publication like this. Assuming I can write pretty quickly, et cetera, what is a realistic time frame to go from zero to published that somebody could kind of expect?
Yeah, it's a 3 months probably.
Okay.
That first one takes a little while. Once you get that done and you're set up, you can go. Now, you may jump on, if you have a really good article and some really good hook on it and they just happen to notice it, then it could push you out quicker for that one piece. But for really getting there and getting set up as a real contributor there, it's a few months long process.
But for one article, it could be a lot quicker.
Yeah, it could be faster, but I generally like to say it's going to be a few months, just because there is a process.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because I don't want the worst thing about people who quote unquote gurus is that they promise these instantaneous results, and then people start to try, and then they don't get instant results, and then they get all pissed off.
Yeah.
So
yeah, not yeah.
This is good. This is good. This is real world stuff. This is, hey, listen, if you're going to commit to this, it may take about 3 months, but then once that happens, it gets a lot easier. And it's not like you're working full time on trying to get published.
No, you're not much. You're basically waiting.
Yeah, exactly.
They get tons of submissions, so it's putting that in there and doing some, follow ups, and you're trying to get them to notice you.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about now some of the offerings, because you guys put out so much awesome free information that I was like looking around, going, well, how are they making their money? You know, where what services do you offer to make these things quicker and easier, et cetera? So you've talked a little bit about the authority agency, which is where somebody can invest a very, very small amount. I think I saw what it was, and get the ability to go out and offer this to potential consulting clients, et cetera.
Right.
But what about what's the next level for this?
Well, there's that level to do it if you are a marketing consultant or some type of coach that wants to use these to bring in other people. Even if you're not a marketing person, we have people in there that offer general business coaches, and use this stuff to add coolness to their masterminds or other higher level coaching programs. But aside from that, we also have our done for you stuff where we can either make you a help you create a book and get it published and make it a bestseller, get you quoted in some of these other places. So if you're don't necessarily even want to just be a full-time contributor or writer for one of those places, you just want to have yourself quoted or even profiled in one of those places, we can set those up also. We know people, we can pitch you and get a story created for you and do that. Another thing we're doing right now, which we'll put the link here on the show notes page.
Yeah.
Is we are doing a book right now that is it's not going to be making people authors. It's to raise money for lemonadeday.org, where we're just looking for people to tell stories of their first online business and get some lessons learned from that. We're just going to interview you, put it together. It's based off the book Founders at Work, which is a really, if you haven't read that, that's a great book. But it's more taking it back a little more, just the entrepreneurial person, looking at people that have been in the trenches. And that's it. We're just looking for people to tell their story in there. We'll interview you, put it up there, and we're not charging anything for that one. We're just asking each person to contribute a little bit, buy some books on before it opens up, and that's it. Just to push it up there and get some awareness for it. We want to get this book in the hands of as many young entrepreneurs as possible.
Awesome. Yeah, send that link over. I'll make sure to get that out.
Yeah, I'm gonna put up a little page for all your people.
Cool.
For sure. We'll make it authoritycalchemy.com/Brad.
Nice. I like it.
That'll have it on there. Yeah.
So back to, because I believe that most of the people listening to my show are the types of entrepreneurs who would rather pay for it to be done for them as opposed to do it themselves. So let's go back to that done for you service that you have. I come to you and I say, Brian, I don't have time for all this other stuff. I'm busy running my empire. What can you do for me?
Like I said, we have several different packages. One of the best things, if you don't have a book, we really recommend doing a book. Yeah. And it's not as difficult as people think. You've got to readjust what you think the book is. Everybody thinks of the book as the big hardback, the A to Z guide to everything that you see in the bookstores. But now with Kindles, you can create a book, which we call it One Problem, One Solution books, where you just you talk about one specific problem your target prospect has and give your solution to it. And those can be really short books. We can get all that out of a 45-minute, 60-minute conversation with you. Get everything we need for that, and publish that. And people really tend to like those even better. I'm one of them. I love the little short books.
Yeah.
I can want to get a whole concept down in one sitting. So those work really well. And then tying that in, getting you featured in a couple news places, maybe quoted in a Huffington Post or Entrepreneur one, so you can have those. And then we build in the marketing campaigns around those, which is where the real magic comes in with those, is that we don't just do that stuff for you and leave you on your own. We actually show you how to monetize it, how to build those into your existing marketing campaigns. We give you the swipe files for posting on social media and tell you the times to do it, the orders, and it works extraordinarily well.
I love it. And then what about, so there's the book, angle, but then what about the if people want to do the whole guest can be the writer, et cetera, is that part of the program as well?
That's a standalone one, but yeah, that's one by itself. We definitely do that.
Cool.
Yeah, so I can put all that on that, you know, that page, the authorityalchemy.com/Brad. I'll put that on there. I'll also put links to that stuff so you can check that out. But yeah, we've done those. You know, we put a few people a month on, get set up as contributors those places. It's like I said, it is a little bit of a work. It does take time, mm-hmm. but there's really not much you have to do at all. We actually will help create the topics and help create the first article or first few articles to get you brought on there, and then by the end you actually will have a login access to those sites, be able to publish or submit content on your own whenever you want.
I love it. So does that happen usually quicker than, I mean, this is kind of a dumb question I think, but is that probably is a much quicker process and easier process than just trying to go out and do it on your own?
It's easier for them, but it's still about the same amount of time.
Okay.
It's still a bit of work. They just have a lot of channels that have to be gone through with those places.
I imagine. But yeah. You know, if it really, I don't think it really matters what business you're in. I see this as being just a tremendous opportunity for any entrepreneur, professional. Doesn't even have to be an entrepreneur. I mean, you could be selling insurance, or you know, whatever. People buy from authority, perceived authority, credibility, and it's just such a powerful marketing tool that makes a lot of other things insanely easy.
Oh yeah,
right? Yeah, it's it kind of greases the chute. So
yep, absolutely, that's the whole purpose of this thing, is to make it easier for you, for everything else in your business to work. So all the stuff we do, we're not asking you to change any marketing you're doing right now. This is just a way to enhance what you're doing. So it just sits on top of what you're doing, makes it work better. So we're not telling you to stop doing SEO, to stop doing paid ads or any of that stuff. You're doing that perfectly right now. This is just going to make every bit of that work better.
Yeah. So, and this is kind of an interesting thought that just, or a memory that just popped up. But I have multiple friends who are in sales, right? They just have sales jobs. And you know, over the past 10 years, there's been a whole lot of ups and downs in the economy, and you know, a lot of people have lost their jobs, and especially sales jobs. And they've come to me with recommendations. Hey, what do you think? And several times I've told them, I even told my 22-year-old cousin to do this because he's really at that cusp of about to go look for a job. I said, you know, find, you know, if you're in sales, right? Write a book. And exact same thing. I can show you how to do this really easily. Write a book on something about how to find, close, and keep customers for life. Something about, like a general sales book. I said, you don't even have to be, chances are you could create this book in an hour, or you could hire a ghostwriter to do a very, very basic book. You know, for a few $100, definitely less than $1,000 to keep a very basic one done. And there's even private label rights stuff out there about a general topic. So, but get published, get it on Amazon, become a topic expert on sales. And they're always really confused. But I said, but think about this: if you put your resume out there and somebody's reading it, I bet my life that every single HR person is Googling your name. Okay. I'm kind of interested in what this person has to say. Let's Google their name. If your Amazon listing comes up that you wrote a book on sales, or you wrote a book on the topic of the job that you want, do you think you're probably going to get a call? And not a single one of my friends has taken me up on this advice. Now, granted, I didn't say I'd do it for them. And I told them to go do it themselves. I probably should have offered it to them, but I didn't really want to actually do the work for them at the time. But you know, I don't know, there's probably an entire market out there of jobs, you know, authority alchemy for job seekers, not just entrepreneurs.
Yeah, we've done some people have used it. I did an article for Ask Men about how to apply these authority tactics to your career if you're not an entrepreneur, if you're just wanting to move up. And a lot of them apply the micro specialization stuff instead of being a general person. You specifically work on the one thing. If you're an IT person, instead of just being an IT generalist, you're not going to do great. But if you're the one guy, if you are the best person at once working on one specific type of your router, the company that needs that router working is going to pay you a lot more money.
Yeah.
So it applies to that also. So yeah, we do get into that a little bit, but yeah, we mainly focus on entrepreneurs, but it definitely works for people in the professional space.
Right. Well, and if you're in B2B sales, I was actually having this conversation with another friend of mine the other day. You know, if you can get a, get an article on or a column on one of these sites, it's amazing. But you could do this with a podcast or with a book. Is let's say you're going after C-level executives, chief technology officers, or somebody of that nature. You know, reach out to them and say, listen, I'm doing an article, I'm doing a book, I'm doing a, you know, I've got a podcast regarding, or a business show regarding issues that chief technology officers are facing regarding, I don't know, internet security. Whatever it is you sell, something based on that, can I get a quote from you? And if ideally you want that relationship, you want to be able to sell them, but reach out to them in a kind of a side door, you know, ask for their insight on something. It flatters them. It is a non-threatening way to start that introduction with somebody. And now you've got them. You've got them now. I can say, oh, by the way, yeah, no, I also work for XYZ company and we provide this. If you do the transition smoothly, it's a lot easier than just doing a cold call or a cold email. But reach out, ask for quotes from your ideal prospects, and I think that you'd have a lot more success than just going in for a cold call.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Anyway, this kind of stuff I can talk about all day long, but we are running out of time. So, Brian, man, this has been really cool. I hope I lived up to my promise early on to pick your brain with some stuff that you might not get asked all the time and not the most basic questions, because you know there's some stuff in here I'm absolutely going to run out and do. I took a lot of notes, and I'm encouraging every one of my listeners to do the same. I'm encouraging them all to go over to authoritycalchemy.com and read every post that's over there, or at least the ones that appeal to you. I know I was on there, and I was really impressed at how much I wanted to read on your site. I was like, damn it, I got stuff to do, Brian. You know, but writing all these good articles. So there will be links in the show notes to everything we just talked about, and you and I'll get together after this, and you just tell me what links to put on the show. Is there anything else you'd like to leave the audience with? Any insights? Anything that we didn't cover?
No, man. I think we hit it all. I'd definitely just go to the site and look at the show notes. We'll have a lot of stuff in there and links to. Links to your page on our site with all specific stuff for your listeners.
Nice. Cool. So in the early part of the podcast, I said that I've got a special little gift for people who leave a review on iTunes. So one of the things I've realized, and you may have realized too, Brian, having a podcast, is that people are relatively lazy when it comes to leaving a review. And by people, I mean me. I don't go out and leave reviews for everybody's podcast. I think I did it for you guys. I would love a review from you guys. But one of the things I'm going to do is over the next, if you're listening to this right now, is in the next week, this show usually drops on Tuesday. Whoever leaves a review between, today and the next episode and the next week, I am going to give a 30-minute Skype call for free. That this is ballsy, because I could all of a sudden receive like 50 reviews or something.
Yeah.
What am I getting into? I take that back. I am going to give 3 30-minute Skype calls to 3 people who leave a review between in the next 7 days between when you hear this, and all you gotta do is go leave a good honest review on iTunes. And I'm bribing you with my brain. So if you like the way I think and you want me to give you a second opinion on your business, either leave a review and or send an email to askbrad@baconwrappedbusiness.com. We'll see if this works. Maybe it's a crickets. I don't know.
No, I have to see what you, see how it works for you.
I know, right?
Try that.
So, yeah. And once more, if you have any other topics or suggestions, just shoot that over to Ask Brad at Bacon Wrap Business. Talk about it, share it on social media, and let me know if there's any guests that you think or topics that you think that I should cover that I haven't been covering. That being said, Brian, man, I look forward to seeing you at some event or something in the near future.
Absolutely.
And staying in contact with you, and let me know if there's anything I can do for you.
All right, same to you. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. All right, guys, see you on the next Epi Sizzle.